We'll be going on to the next presentation. The topic is a report from a landmark regional health conference in Kabul, Afghanistan, and its impact on regional collaboration. This is going to be presented by two presenters, Dr. Frederick Hartman, who's the technical lead in communicable diseases at the Management Sciences for Health in Massachusetts, and the second presenter will be Sally Craig, who's the technical quality and innovation person there as well in Management Services for Health. Dr. Hartman himself is quite an expert on Afghanistan. He has a book called Window on Afghanistan, Rebuilding Health, Hope, and the Human Spirit. He was telling me about how he was working there back in the late 70s and then went back after 25 years to kind of round up his project there. So it was very interesting to hear about that. So with no further ado, Dr. Hartman presenting? Actually, Sally is going to be presenting first. Thank you.
Thank you, Salwa. It's a great pleasure to be with you this morning and to present a paper about a conference that fits the theme of this conference so very well. And I think also following on the previous presentation, you'll see some synergies here. Communicable diseases know no borders. This is the theme of a conference that Fred and myself and two other colleagues participated in. I'd like to acknowledge our co-authors, Dr. John Rohde and Ms. Sylvia Vriesendorp, all of whom work for Management Sciences for Health. Neither Dr. Hartman nor I have any commercial interests related to this presentation. I'm going to start the presentation by talking a little bit about the conference and how it was planned and organized. We both worked in a project in Afghanistan that was taking place during, began actually immediately following the ouster of the Taliban. And by mid-2005, the Ministry of Health, whom we were working with to build their capacity and help rebuild the healthcare system, came to Management Sciences for Health and the project that we were working on, to request that they hold, and we help them hold, a regional conference. They wanted to showcase the fact that Afghanistan and its Ministry of Health was back on the scene. The Ministry of Public Health requested United States Agency for International Development, who was our funder, to add funds to our contract to help put on this conference. And WHO came to our rescue when we realized that Iran was being invited to send a delegation and we could not use U.S. government money to pay for that. So WHO kindly stepped into the breach and helped us to fund our Iranian delegation. The goal of this conference that was arrived at by some hard and long deliberations within the Ministry of Health and the partners working on the conference was to unite neighboring countries to take action to control infectious diseases, thereby reducing morbidity and mortality rates. Our outcomes plan for the conference was to build a commitment to collaborate and cooperate in the fight against communicable diseases in that region of the world. And also, we wanted to have a written testimony to the commitment of this group that came together to deliberate on communicable diseases. The theme that we established was health for all and health by all. Communicable diseases recognize no borders. We were doing these deliberations in the latter half of 2005, and the ministry said, "Oh, well, we can hold this conference by April next year." Any of you who have been involved with conference planning will recognize that that was an extreme challenge for all of us, particularly working in a post-conflict country that hardly had hotel accommodations to house ministers of health who were coming from many different countries. But somehow we prevailed. We had a wonderful planning team. The team decided that we would focus on six diseases that were common challenges in the region surrounding Afghanistan. We chose HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, avian influenza, which we've just heard about, polio, and cholera. It was interesting to us that, in fact, HIV and cholera were concerns. Both from the cultural and the economic perspective, there were sensitivities surrounding these two diseases, but the planning committee decided to forge ahead and include those as among the six that were being discussed. The Ministry of Health led technical working groups who helped develop the plan for the conference. We planned a poster session, and we invited all the delegations to bring posters about activities and statistics on these six diseases in their country. The reason being that the conference was scheduled to be only 3.5 days, and we realized that we could not invite every delegation to present on all six diseases. So wonderfully, they all brought posters about all six diseases and their responses to them. These were posted in the hotel, so they were available throughout the conference, both for reference and just for interest of those who were participating. We hired for the conference an external facilitator and a graphic facilitator. Now, many of you may have not seen graphic facilitation at conferences, but it's amazing. It provided an immediate and very accessible graphic record of the proceedings as they were happening, and I'll show you a few clips from those in a minute. All of Afghanistan's neighboring countries, those that border Afghanistan, were invited to the conference. As it turned out, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Tajikistan, and Turkey, and Turkmenistan participated. You may say, well, Iraq isn't exactly a border country, and neither is Turkey. Those two countries were invited because of ongoing collaboration and assistance, in the case of Turkey, to some of the other neighboring countries. The other bordering countries, those of you who know your geography, Uzbekistan and China, declined to participate. But in any case, we thought that six plus Afghanistan was a pretty good yield for a conference of this type. The delegates were ministers of health or their designates and one or two technical staff from each country. The technical staff arrived 2 days prior to the ministerial delegations for technical plenary presentations, deliberations, and framing a declaration, a draft declaration. The ministers arrived on day three to hear the keynote speech by Dr. David Heyman from WHO, the Director General of Polio at that time, and also an address from His Excellency the President of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai. The draft declaration was vetted by after the ministers arrived, revised, approved, and signed. Here is President Karzai addressing the conference. We were delighted to have him there, and here is the graphic representation of what he said to the conference. This was created as he was speaking, huge wall poster that then remained posted on the wall of the conference hall for the duration of the conference, as were about 30 other posters that recorded deliberations. Just to note some of the highlights, he pointed out that we need to protect our future. We need to have regional collaboration. These are little diseases, these ugly guys. And you see, they recognize no border. They're slipping out. As a matter of fact, here's one down here getting on a plane. And President Karzai closed by saying this is a noble cause for the whole world, and everyone's future is affected. So you see in a nutshell this wonderful graphic that tells you exactly what he said to the conference. Our expert speakers and technical facilitators came from a number of well-recognized organizations, including the World Health Organization, U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the International Center for Diarrheal Disease Control in, actually it's disease research, in Bangladesh, TCI Foundation in India, that's the Tata Corporation, and their foundation does a lot of work on HIV/AIDS. So they were a wonderful resource. We also had input from the Global Fund and Management Sciences for Health, of course, because we were helping to organize. Here's another graphic representation of how the conference proceeded. This is, it had a wonderful participatory design. The idea was to bring all the stakeholders to the same place and get them all involved. And the main point here is that there were plenary sessions with discussions of the six diseases and the approaches to those diseases. We went into small working groups on each of the diseases with focus questions that were deliberated in small groups. There was report back, and we repeated this process 4 times so that you, through the process, got buy-in and great participation of all the delegates. By day 3, we were ready with a draft declaration. The ministers arrived, and the draft was presented. We again went into small groups, including the ministers themselves. There was iteration, refinement of the declaration, and we finally came out with a declaration that was signed by all of the ministers. Here you see six of the ministers or their delegates signing. We have, let's see, left to right, it's hard to read their name cards, but we have Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, and Turkmenistan. Unfortunately, the minister from Tajikistan had to leave very early the morning of the signing. So we caught him in the coffee shop, and he got his signature on the declaration as well on his way out the door. So all seven of these ministers or their representatives signed the declaration. I have copies of the declaration on the front table if anybody's interested in seeing it. Basically, it gets into talking about what these countries are going to do with each other, for each other. In the interest of cross-border collaboration in the prevention and control, elimination or eradication of communicable diseases, this is what they committed to: mobilizing and maintaining political will, harmonizing health messages, establishing criteria for quality surveillance and timely exchange of information about these communicable diseases, identifying high-risk and mobile populations who are moving back and forth across borders on a regular basis, developing and following standardized disease management guidelines, and developing and applying evidence-based approaches in inter-country activities. Now I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Dr. Hartman, who's going to talk about some of the follow-up. Mind you, this conference was over 2 years ago, so we've been able to go back to some of the delegates and find out what they've done. Dr. Hartman.
Thank you, Sally Craig. Indeed, it was an honor and privilege in my life to be able to go back 25 years later and close the gap in a program that was so rudely interrupted by the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. In many ways, this Kabul Declaration represented the high point of much of our experience there. Of the six diseases, I've chosen to focus on three in the interest of time. Afghanistan is a high desert country, as are all the neighbors, and this is Iran, Pakistan, and Tajikistan. Uzbekistan is up here. Not normally thought of as a high endemic malarious country, but it is. The Hindu Kush runs right down the middle. I'm told it's an ancient Aryan name, which means water mountain. The mountains do go up to 20,000 feet, with a massive snowpack up to as high as 5 meters. And the runoff in the spring and early summer is what irrigates all the agricultural areas and accounts for widespread malaria, which, as you can see, occurs on the border areas because these are the agricultural plains. On the right, you will see that, much to everybody's surprise, there were large numbers of cases confirmed in 2004. In fact, there was an estimated 3 million cases, of which only 250,000 were confirmed. But you can also see, with concerted effort, the marked reduction that has occurred over time. We're pleased to feel that the regional conference contributed to that. Iran especially took a lead role in this because they felt that a lot of the malarial cases they were seeing on their eastern border were due to transmission from Afghanistan. And they provided a lot of financial and technical support, exchange visits and the like. The Pasteur Institute did studies on vivax epidemiology, and Tajikistan helped finance a northern malaria control project. And these are all continuing on. In fact, the EMRO, the Eastern Mediterranean Regional Office of WHO, considers malaria a singular successful output of this conference. The EMRO advisor wrote us that normally she doesn't think conferences like this amount to much in the long run. There's highly visible proclamations that don't go anywhere. And in this case, they actually did produce results. Another major challenge Afghanistan has been facing is avian influenza. In 2006, the country was unexpectedly slammed with a major countrywide outbreak that required culling of hundreds of thousands of chickens. The outbreak began in the eastern region that was bordering Pakistan, and from an Afghan perspective, whether it's the Taliban or avian influenza, very bad things come in from Pakistan. The problem is that in November 2007, along the eastern border, there were confirmed human avian influenza cases. This was reported in the first speaker, but confirmed human-to-human transmission, which is really very frightening. when you note that most of the fatalities in this cluster were secondary cases. So obviously the necessity was to implement cross-border controls for human surveillance, for poultry surveillance, and to institute biosecurity in terms of transport of poultry from Pakistan to Afghanistan and then within each country. In addition, we worked with the country to upgrade provincial hospitals to prepare for large numbers of suspect cases. Thank you. And instituted movement controls across the borders. And here you see the results, which is pretty interesting. In 2006, the country was totally unprepared. There were 14 provincial outbreaks and only 4 suspect human cases, 3 of which died. They were all sisters who died after handling ducks that had unexpectedly died, and we couldn't confirm. We instituted joint training of the Ministry of Health and Ministry of Agriculture response teams. We instituted that cross-border surveillance. This is a picture of an outbreak in Kunar province, which is one of the eastern provinces in 2006, that shows joint agriculture and Ministry of Health teams. The agriculture teams are culling the chickens in the village, and the Ministry of Health surveillance teams are doing active surveillance. These are fever strips they're applying to the forehead. The suspect human avian influenza case definition includes, as you saw earlier, contact with sick chickens and fever 38 degrees. As a result of this, 266 human cases were confirmed and in some way, shape, or form isolated. Suspected cases were identified and in some way, shape, or form isolated and given prophylaxis. None were confirmed. However, the outbreak was restricted to 4 provinces. And this year, only 1 province and 16 confirmed cases. So the obvious conclusion is that the cross-border activities that have existed now for almost 2 years between Pakistan and Afghanistan have made a huge difference, really, in both countries. I don't have Pakistan data, but I think we can say this represents a success story as well. But let's take a look about polio. Pakistan and Afghanistan are one epidemiologic cluster, and really polio is one of those diseases that truly knows no borders. There are 2 of the 4 countries that are recognized as having endemic wild polio. And you can see that in Afghanistan, at least, we were making pretty good inroads there by 2004. But also, as unfortunately has been the case in much of the world, the number of polio cases have increased, even more so in Pakistan than in Afghanistan. The idea, of course, is to initiate cross-border controls, which we did, but you can see, even as recently as May of 2008, you're seeing various clusters of genetically related oral polio 1, and then for the wild virus 3, I'm sorry I said oral polio, I meant wild virus 1, and wild virus 3, you can see again clusters appearing that are linked through the transport mechanisms. This is the main transport mechanism into the southern area of Afghanistan, and this is the main transport mechanism into the eastern and northern areas. This is also the Taliban areas where most of the civil disorder is occurring. And they are probably related in terms of control efforts. There have been national immunization days. There's been joint border surveillance and vaccination. We share isolates and genotyping. However, the recent assassination of 3 WHO and Ministry of Health officers involved in polio eradication has really dampened enthusiasm. What's impressed me is people still go out to do this. Nonetheless, the wild polio virus continues to circulate. So what can we say about this experience? Well, first of all, Afghanistan has emerged from 3 decades of conflict as a major international partner in public health and will continue to function in that way. Very gratifying, as I said earlier, to be a part of this. The Kabul Declaration did stimulate regional cooperation, and this was mandated by the massive population migrations as a result of the civil conflict, which still goes on. Regional cooperation, despite civil conflict and public health, has set a model, and we've produced some real successes. However, I think we have to admit that we're not going to be successful always. I personally feel that eradication of wild polio is a dream that has vanished. It just simply will not occur. There are more cases around the world, and at least in Afghanistan, some of the cases of confirmed acute flaccid paralysis due to wild polio virus had 5 or more oral polio vaccinations. And one case in Kunar province had 10 documented. So in that setting, I am afraid to say myself, I just don't think we're going to eradicate polio. In any event, it's been an honor to present these results to you, and I hope it stimulates some thinking about ways in which this might occur in other regions of the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hartman and Sally Craig. Excellent presentation. I think both the presentations from the ones I heard earlier in the previous session and these ones kind of bring to mind, make you think that when we're talking about public health without borders, we're not just talking about borders of geographical borders, but also borders of time. That we're everything that we're looking at now, we have to think about all the lessons learned from the previous experiences. Now, when we're talking about avian influenza, we can apply lessons learned from work done in polio in the past, and then applying those and looking into the future. Another infectious disease that we have a lot of lessons learned from is malaria. And our next speaker, Elaine Roman from JAPAIGO at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, will be talking about using results from 5 sub-Saharan countries for recommendations about malaria prevention during pregnancy. Elaine has been working at JAPAIGO as a senior program officer for 7 years, 4 of which she spent in Kenya. Thank you.